Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Honor is the first African-American juvenile court judge in Hamilton County in his 110-year history. Now they're trying to put her out off the bench, which they have done. Now they're trying to put her in jail. Her ascension to judge was not without some controversy in and of itself. She had to fight to have votes counted, and we'll let Judge Hunter tell you about it. Judge Hunter, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Derek. How are you?
I'm doing very well. It's got to be a tough and trying time for you.
Yeah, it is very tough and trying. But first of all, I just want to say thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak with you today and to address your listeners in Atlanta, all the way from Cincinnati, Ohio. But yes, indeed, I actually just finished doing a press conference this morning where we went down to the prosecutor's office and I delivered a very strong statement regarding all of the things that have happened to me since running for judge of the Hamilton County Juvenile Court in 2010. It's been going on for 10 years now.
Let's just start there. Tell us a little bit give us the Tracy Hunter story on background. Where'd you go to school and when did you know you wanted to be a judge? And then we're going to walk down the process to your historic victory, which was not without some controversy itself. But tell familiarize our audience, if we did not know who Tracy Hunter was. Tell us your story.
Well, thank you. I am from Cincinnati, Ohio, but I grew up in a suburb of Cincinnati called Forest Park, Ohio. Mm-hmm. I was pretty much educated in Catholic and private schools here in Cincinnati. I then went to Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. And upon graduation from Miami University, I worked for a year in public relations and actually media. I have a background in radio, news reporting, mm-hmm. et cetera. I did that. And then I went to law school. I worked for a major law firm during law school. And upon graduating, I ended up opening my own. Well, I worked for a criminal defense firm for a while.
Okay.
Well as for a major personal injury law firm here, one of the largest in the city. And then I opened my own law practice, and I practiced law. I was a solo practitioner concentrating pretty much in general legal practice, but specifically juvenile law and criminal law. And while practicing law, especially in the juvenile court, I began to see a lot of disparities mm-hmm. in the treatment
right.
of black juveniles versus white juveniles. And particularly, most of the clientele that I've represented, both as a private lawyer as well as a contracted attorney through the public defender's office, were African American.
Right.
And I got to experience firsthand, not only as a lawyer, but defending children, the strong effort that the system made mm-hmm. to really criminalize our children
yep.
at an early age and to basically get them involved in the school to prison pipeline. Mm-hmm. And I fought it. I wasn't too much liked as a defense lawyer, at least by the prosecutors, when I practiced law, because I would vigorously fight for my clients, and they didn't like that.
Right.
They were mad when lawyers actually fought the charges, and, you know, they wanted lawyers basically to come in, roll over, and just deliver their children up in terms of just accepting plea agreements. And oftentimes children weren't represented, and when they weren't represented, oftentimes, of course, you know, when you don't have representation,
certainly.
Many times they would end up pleading to things. becoming a part of the system.
Mm-hmm.
And it really sickened me, to be honest. It sickened me physically as well as legally. And I just purposed during that time that I left that for a while because it was really just too difficult to just deal with the injustices that that I was encountering every single day. And I purposed that if I came back to the juvenile court, I would come back as a judge.
Mm.
And I would begin to change all of the things that I saw wrong with the system as an attorney. Because the juvenile court here in Hamilton County, we're the third largest county in the state of Ohio, but we do have, we had then, and we still do have, the highest bindover rates of children to the adult prison system.
Wow.
Than any county in the state of Ohio. Cleveland, Ohio, which is Cuyahoga County, is the number one in terms of population, followed by Columbus, Ohio, which is our capital, that's Franklin County. They are number two in terms of population. We are three, but we outnumber Cleveland 3-1 in terms of transferring children from the juvenile court to the adult system.
Wow. All right, Judge Hunter, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, you make a decision. We want you to finish that thought. You make a decision to run. You run in the election is without controversy. It has controversy involved in it that delayed your being sworn in for, I think I'm reading, like months.
Oh, over 18 months, almost 2 years, as a matter of fact.
Okay, when we come back, tell us what happened in the election. Because generally, an election occurs, we see the results, and a person wins or loses. You end up having to sue, and they finally, after 18 months, swear you in. We want you to tell us what happened in that to our audience when we come back from break. Don't go into place. Our special guest all the way from Cincinnati is Judge Tracy Hunter. Her story is important because it's our story. This is did everything she needed to do to prepare herself to serve the people. And we're going to talk about how the system came after her, and now they're demanding she go to jail next week. She went from judge to defendant, to now they are seeking for her to be, for her to turn herself in and to go to jail. We'll talk about how we got there. Don't go into place. We also have Dr. Vanessa Enoch on the phone with us from Cincinnati, too. 448-922-2703. We'll be back. It's News and Talk, 1380 WALK. Paired, offered herself as a candidate in juvenile court. She was passionate about helping young people. And Judge Hunter, tell us the rest of the story. You go from being a defense attorney for young people, defending them in court, juvenile court, to saying, I want to help change this system completely. You ran for judge. Tell us what that process was like. Were you running against an incumbent? Tell us how did the election unfold?
Well, I must also say, not only am I the first African-American juvenile court judge in Hamilton County, I'm also the first Democratic juvenile court judge in Hamilton County. And Hamilton County, which is the large county that Cincinnati, Ohio, that's our major city, mm-hmm. is based in, the Democratic chair at that time, Tim Burke, had decided that he wanted to he was going to put up another white male candidate to run for judge as the Republican judge of our two-judge court was retiring. At least there's two seats. There's staggered terms.
Mm-hmm.
One seat was becoming available. So I ran for that seat, but the Democratic chairperson wanted the white male, who had a political history, his family's name is on the Bar Association, et cetera. He wanted him to take the seat. Well, I ran anyway, and I ran unendorsed, and I ended up receiving over 70% of the vote in Hamilton
wow.
County, which in and of itself was historic,
mm-hmm.
Because I beat the endorsed Democratic candidate, the white male. At that point, the Democratic Party did endorse me. I ran against the Republican judge, and when it appeared that I was going to beat him, then they just began to stop counting votes. And so on election night, it was about 90% in, and I had overtaken him, and it looked as though I was going to win the election. And all of the years that I reported on the election process. Whenever it was at the end and it was that close, over 90% in,
they
whoever was
the
in
election.
The head,
right.
That's the election. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it just flipped. And it was shocking because I'd never seen anything like it, especially because Cincinnati, which has the largest population of African-American people, came in last. And that means that the majority of African-American people, the Democratic people that were in Hamilton County or that were in Cincinnati, clearly were voting for me.
Right.
But something flipped that night, and they called the election, and they said that I lost by several thousand votes. Well, I didn't believe it, and I hope this is okay with everyone. I'm a pastor, too.
Right.
And so
mm-hmm.
as a pastor, I had prayed, and when I ran for office, I only ran because I knew what I would be up against. The juvenile court in Hamilton County is one of the largest courts in Hamilton County, and it controls, I believe, the second largest budget in Hamilton County of any other county office.
Right.
And so you have the sheriffs, et cetera. So this was a very, very powerful position that would cause me, if I were to win the election, to be over tens of millions of dollars, over $30, $40 million at the juvenile court.
Mm-hmm.
That was unprecedented because no African-American in history had ever been over any county budget, not just the judicial, but any county budget
right.
Of an elected office. And so my winning would turn everything upside down. So they said I lost, but I believe in faith that God had told me to run, and I believe that he told me to run, that meant I was going to win the election. And so I said, I didn't lose that election. I'm positive that I won. And so I sued the county within a few days of the election.
Wow.
To make a long story short, they put up everything they had against me. They actually spent millions of dollars opposing me, refusing to count the votes after the Ohio attorney, the Ohio Secretary of State, before I sued, the Ohio Secretary of State had told them to count the votes. She was Democrat. Well, in January 2011, the Republicans took over the state of Ohio, and he reversed everything that the Ohio Secretary of State had said regarding counting the votes.
Right.
The federal court ruled in my favor immediately and ordered them to count the votes, but they refused. Here in Hamilton County, they refused and defied a federal court order to count the votes. And so I ended up literally fighting them all the way to the United States Supreme Court. The case called Hunter v. Board of Election was followed by the Ohio State Law School. They called it one of the most important election cases since Bush v. Gore. And, in fact, it's cited hundreds of times right now in election cases across the country. But it took 2 years. I finally proved that I won after the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear their case. And that was their last appeal. They finally counted the votes, and when they counted the votes, I was declared the actual
wow.
winner of the election.
And that was and so 18 months after the election.
18 months later.
Did
I was not
this judge, the Republican judge, did he continue to sit on the bench during this time that you were going back and forth to court?
Yes. They asked him to stay in that position as a visiting judge, because technically his term was over. So he served as a visiting judge while the election lawsuit was going on. But what happened that's most egregious to me is that my opponent, who actually lost the election to me,
right?
Remember I said it's a two-judge court. The Republican judge that was over the other seat had 3 years left on her term, and she retired early.
And allowed him to assume that, and he was appointed.
Yes, so Governor,
mm-hmm.
yes, at that time, Governor Kasich, who later ran for president of the United States,
right.
he then appointed my opponent, who lost the election to me, he appointed him to the other seat, and he got into the juvenile court 6 months before I did. And so while I was still fighting the election lawsuit, the person who lost the election was in the juvenile court, taking over the court and trying to control it, because I won the election, that would have made me the senior judge of the court. So I would have come in as both the senior judge, the presiding judge, the administrative judge of the court, and they were not going to have that in Hamilton County. And so they put him in there, the white male Republican. He began to take over the court, and by the time I was sworn in May, he had appointed a court administrator. I then brought in a black court administrator.
Ooh.
They sued, but they sued me
right.
and blocked it.
Wow.
I began to be sued regularly, harassed regularly by the prosecutor. The prosecutor, Joe Dieters, actually represented the Hamilton County Board of Elections in the election lawsuit against me. Then when I was finally sworn in, his office began to harass me every day. They refused to follow judicial orders. Then I started being sued as a judge. I was sued by the media, WCPO, Channel 9, as well as the Cincinnati Inquirer, the only daily newspaper that we have in Hamilton County or Cincinnati, is a Republican newspaper, our Republican daily newspaper. They sued me because I would not allow them to show the faces or to publish the names of children in my courtroom. So I began to be sued repeatedly. I was sued almost 30 times in just less than a year.
Now, let me ask you this. When you're sued in your capacity as a judge, does the county has to, do they have to provide for your legal defense? Or your, do they have to defend you?
Yes, they do. But something very odd and unprecedented happened in my case. The prosecutor, which was the same prosecutor, Joe Dieters, who was actually defending the election lawsuit against me, and the election lawsuit actually was still going on because there were some unresolved issues, so it had not yet resolved.
Mm-hmm.
He then began representing me as the juvenile court judge.
How's that not a conflict of interest?
It is a conflict of interest, and it's unethical, and the code prohibits it, but they allowed him to represent me over my objection, over my written objection, over my, I began to file complaints to the Ohio Attorney General's office, and ultimately I filed complaints to the Ohio Supreme Court, because not only was he representing me, there were at least 13 of those almost 30 lawsuits that were filed against me that the prosecutor, while representing me, failed to answer. And when he failed to answer those lawsuits, they all resulted in default judgments against me as judge. And then his mother-in-law, who served on the First District Court of Appeals, she forbade me from getting independent counsel and forced me to allow the prosecutor who let all those lawsuits lapse against me be represented by him. When I finally filed that ethics complaint with the Ohio Supreme Court against Joe Dieters as well as three of his assistant prosecutors for misconduct in my courtroom on cases, they were refusing to turn over evidence in juvenile court cases. He then, 2 weeks after I filed an ethics complaint against him, accused me of crime, got hired his personal defense criminal and divorce lawyers who had never been prosecutors to become special prosecutors and to indict me. And then in January 10th, 2014, I was charged with 9 felonies as judge of the juvenile court. I was immediately suspended by the Ohio Supreme Court. I've been suspended ever since. I was forced to go through a 6-week trial in 2014. And then in September 2014 or October 2014, after a 6-week trial, they said I was convicted of one. And the reason I said convicted is because it happened on a holiday weekend, and they sealed the verdict, supposedly. Then they dismissed the juror, let them go out and enjoy their holiday. They brought them back. They opened the verdict, said that it said I was guilty. I immediately asked to poll the jury, which the law requires.
Right.
The judge said no and immediately dismissed the entire jury.
Right. Judge Hunter, we got to take another break. I want you to put a pin in that and tell us, as a result of that quote-unquote conviction, where are you now? Because as we understand it, all your legal avenues have been exhausted, and they're asking you to report to jail next week.
Yes, on Monday. I'm scheduled to go to jail.
All right,
for 6
months. We'll pick that up where you left off. You got questions, comments for Judge Hunter, and we want to ask you, what can we do? Is there any phone calls we can make? Anybody we can appeal to? What can we do? Clearly, this has been a kangaroo court, and it was set off when she bucked the system, if you will. You know, these are systems that have been put in place for hundreds of years. The first African-American judge in this county for juvenile court in 110 years. White supremacy is a global system. It don't operate just down here in the South. 448-922-2703. When we come back, we'll let Judge Hunter finish up. We'll talk to Dr. Vanessa Enoch of Cincinnati. Got folks on the phone here in Atlanta. 448-922-2703. We'll be back.
What up, y'all? My name.
And now it's ending up with this judge, by all intents and purposes, should be celebrated and heralded as to how far Cincinnati has come and racial diversity and inclusion. But when you upset very powerful interests, they push back. And clearly, Judge Hunter has done that in Hamilton County. The pushback has been serious. Judge Hunter, we got a lot of folks on the phone, and so give us where you are. Obviously, you had 9 felonies. You went on trial facing 9 felonies?
Yes, I went on trial facing 9 felonies.
And they were only able to get a conviction on one or some? What happened to the other cases?
The other charges all resulted in a mistrial. And they told me that if I would waive my speedy trial rights while the one alleged conviction went to appeal, that they would hold off trying me on the other 8 charges. And then they added a 9th one. So it ultimately turned into 10 because they were trying to find another charge that they could bring. So they brought another charge and added another. So there were actually 10 in total. And they kept threatening me to waive my speedy trial rights, which would have allowed them to come back at me years later. And so I refused to do it. So they committed to try me a second time. I said, well, let's do this. If you're going to take me to trial, let's go again. Well, the first time, I only had one lawyer. And because my salary and everything was suspended,
right,
as just I didn't have a way to fight the system.
Right.
And they were literally spending millions of dollars to fight me. So I didn't have all of the resources needed to fight back because every single charge should have resulted in an acquittal. Well, initially when it all happened, I told my first lawyer we needed to get the computers out of the court because I knew that my computers would exonerate me because I'm a very detailed person. And I typed everything on emails. Because I knew it was a public record, and quite honestly, I was trying to protect myself.
Right. Give us an idea of these charges, though, because they threw in the one they ultimately convict you of is some trying to influence your brother's.
It was called securing a public contract. The statute says that a public official is not allowed to secure a public contract for a family member or a business associate.
Mm-hmm.
I had a brother who had worked for the juvenile court actually probably about 7 years before I was elected.
Mm-hmm.
So I had absolutely nothing to do with his hiring. However, they turned it around, actually began to use, there was an incident apparently that had happened in the court. I really wasn't aware of it. The court administrator later brought it to my attention. I looked into it like I had to look into all of the other incidents of the court because I was the statutory or am the statutory employer of the court responsible for everything that goes on in the court,
mm-hmm.
including if something happens, I'm personally sued and I'm liable for whatever goes on. So ultimately, they accused me of securing a public contract for him, which of course didn't happen because he already worked for the court.
Right.
My attorney was confident that charge would be thrown out because quite honestly, it just didn't apply to me.
Right.
And not only that, and so we went to the jury, I guess, was deliberating. And somehow or another, well, I know how it happened. Most of the jurors were connected to the people who brought the false charges against me. For instance, the TV station that I mentioned earlier that sued me, somehow they had an employee from their TV station on my jury. And they wrote the most vicious stories about me as a judge after I filed the election
Did
lawsuit.
You know that at the time when the jury was seated? Did that not come out in the voir dire?
Well, they're absolutely right. That's what should have happened. The problem is, as we discovered, first of all, I had the highest profile case going on in the state of Ohio at the time.
Right.
We should have been able to move the case.
Yeah,
because there's
a venue.
Supreme Court precedent that says that a peer judge in one county cannot rule over a peer judge in the same county. But they refused to follow any laws or rules of ethics where I was concerned. That's why the prosecutor was both representing me and suing me at the same time. So I was forced to go to trial in front of a peer judge here in Hamilton County that was a Republican directly connected to the prosecutor because the prosecutor regularly gave him donations. The special prosecutors regularly gave the prosecutor here donations. So the voir dire process was almost a joke because all 60 of the jurors that were in the jury poll, first of all, I was denied the right to see the jury questionnaires. Usually in a high-profile case, you get a 100-question jury questionnaire like we did in this police shooting case where the police shot a man right directly in the head here, Sam DeBose. His case was going on after my case, and they put every protection in place for him. He had a 100-question jury questionnaire so that he could examine all of the jurors, know in advance. He got it at least 2 weeks in advance. I didn't see a jury questionnaire until I sat down for trial that day, and the voir dire process began.
Wow.
And then all of the jurors, no matter how you cut that jury, we only had several, you know, peremptory strikes where we could eliminate jurors, but there were neighbors of judges. There were friends of the prosecuting witness, their star witness. Her best friend was in my jury pool. The court administrator who would not work for me in the juvenile court, his friends were on the jury. They identified themselves. So we had the employees of the TV station that sued me. Then we had the wife of the lawyer who worked for the law firm that represented the TV station. She was the jury forewoman.
Okay. All right, Judge, we got to take another break. When we come back, we just got to ask you, come Monday, are you prepared to go to jail? I mean, that's where this case is now. Welcome to Politics Cincinnati Style. Not just Cincinnati, it's happening all over the world. When we come back, we'll bring our audience into the conversation. 404-892-2703. All our phone lines are jammed. We have Judge Tracy Hunter up in Cincinnati, Ohio, Hamilton County. What was a historic win. First African-American elected in Hamilton County Juvenile Court, 110 years. Now she'll be the first African-American elected who's going to jail if some things don't change before Monday. 404-892-2703, African-American judge going to jail. We'll be back. It's News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. And when you create powerful enemies, they don't rest.
No, they don't.
Judge, Monday is coming, and according to all of the written information, all your appeals have been exhausted. What else can be done? I know there was a large rally today, I think, at the prosecutor, Joe Dieter's office, and what can be done at this point? How can our audience help you?
Well, thank you. And first, let me point something out really quick, if you don't mind. Because there's so much information, and this has been going on for so long, but it's important for your audience to know that three black jurors, in fact, every single black juror on my trial came forward right after the trial that day and said that guilty was not their verdict. And had they been polled, they all signed sworn affidavits that said had they been polled, they would have said that guilty was not their verdict. And so I've been fighting because even the black jurors who came forward said that they didn't find me guilty that day, but they were being pressured and forced by the juror forewoman who was connected to a lawyer that represented the TV station to sign the form. That was one thing. The other thing that happened is, remember I said that that there were 9 charges that they brought against me again and took me to trial? 2 weeks before the trial was scheduled to begin, I finally was able to hire a forensic computer specialist who I wasn't able to hire during the first trial because of resources. He went into the juvenile court and discovered that the juvenile court and the prosecutors had actually tampered with the court computers. And the things that they actually accused me of, tampering, backdating documents, forgery of my own signature, I don't know how you do that, all of the things that they accused me of, we were able to prove that they had actually tampered with the computers, they had actually changed my judicial entries, and then they got rid of the computers after they soiled the hard drive, and I was refused the evidence and didn't find out until 2 years later, just before the second trial. Because we were able to find out that they had actually framed me as judge, and they had tampered with the computers, we reported to trial, and that morning that I was set to go back to trial on 9 new felony charges, every charge was dismissed. And we know that those charges were dismissed because we had just discovered that they had tampered with the computers to frame me.
Are you able to sue? What is your next move? Are there either in Georgia, we have the Judicial Qualifications Commission, which allows us to file complaints against judges, lawyers, anybody else who were part of that kind of criminal conspiracy? I mean, fait accompli? What is your next move beyond Monday?
Beyond Monday, I filed what is called a writ of habeas petition to the federal court, and it was filed 3 years ago in 2016. I've been scheduled to go to jail three times. It's been stayed three times. And the last time it was granted by a federal court, and a habeas petition determines whether or not you received a fair trial. Unfortunately, the judge in this case at the United States District Court, as a former prosecutor here in Hamilton County, has ties obviously to this community. Mm-hmm. And a month ago, he ruled against me. He lifted the stay. And so now I'm scheduled to go to jail on Monday. Right. I just filed a new motion for stay with the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. That's the court just before the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm waiting on the Sixth Circuit to rule whether or not they will grant the stay. If they deny the stay, then I'm scheduled to be incarcerated this Monday for 6 months. But even if they send me to jail, I will continue to appeal. We did file a notice of appeal. And I will be appealing decision to deny my habeas petition to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. So that's where I am currently. I have exhausted state appeals at this time, and right now I'm still suing or pursuing relief in the federal court.
Is there a way that people who are listening to this, because people are responding on my Facebook page and other places, is that a way for us to support you? Do you have any defense funds set up, or how can people listening all across the country be supportive of you?
My defense fund website is Tracy Hunter, T-R-A-C-I-E, Hunter, H-U-N-T-E-R, LegalDefenseFunds.com. Tracy Hunter, LegalDefenseFunds.com. They can go to that website. There is a donate button. And I was just told as of yesterday there's something going on with it. We're trying to get it corrected.
Okay.
There's an attorney that handles the funds. I don't touch them at all. There's an attorney by the name of Jennifer Branch. Jennifer Branch, people can send money to Tracy Hunter Legal Defense Fund in care of Jennifer Branch in Cincinnati. Her name is spelled just like that, B-R-A-N-C-H. She's with the law firm Gerhardt, Steen & Branch. Or they can go to the donate button. We should have it prayerfully operable by today or so. They can also go to the website change.org. There's a petition online that has been set up by the NAACP. There's lots of organizations, the Coalition for Just Hamilton County, the Greater Cincinnati Chapter of the National Action Network. There's a bunch of ministerial, interdenominational ministerial alliance. Southern Christian Leadership Conference, all of these organizations here support me, and they've been signing the petition. If you go to change.org, look up my name, Judge Tracy Hunter, at change.org, and please sign the petition. They can also call the prosecutor's office and demand the charges be dismissed. That is what my demand is currently. Right. This was a wrongful conviction. I did not break any laws. I did not violate any statutes. And I'm demanding that the wrongful conviction against me be dismissed. Right. And that's what we were demanding at the prosecutor's office today.
And hold on, Judge Hunter. What I'll do is put you on hold. We'll come back from the break. If you have a phone number that you can share with us and our audience.
Okay.
And we'll be glad to make the calls, and we'll get run and get your pen and paper. We'll come back. Gonna let Judge Hunter give us the Legal Defense Fund. A site again, the law office where you can mail a check or a donation to the Legal Defense Fund and get us the prosecutor's name and phone number. Across this radio listening audience, we're going to make sure we send a message and let them hear from us from Atlanta and throughout the country all the way to Cincinnati. Don't go into place. Run and get a pen and paper. We'll come back. Dr. V, Henry, Dr. Vanessa Enoch, we'll take your calls as well. 404-892-2703. We'll be back. It's Too Much Truth. with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WALK. All right. Judge, you were giving us numbers. What can people do? What is our call to action?
There are three or four things that people can do. First of all, they can go to change.org. They can sign the petition. The petition says dismiss the charge against Honorable Judge Tracy Hunter. They can add their name unto the petition. They can also contact the judge in the case. His name is Patrick Dinkelacker. And this particular judge actually ran over and killed a black woman a few years ago. And he was never charged or held accountable for that. And this is the judge that is scheduled to put me in jail on Monday.
And
you can call his...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Call his courtroom at 513-946-3441.
Okay, give that number really, really slowly.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
It's 513-946-3441.
And that's Judge Patrick Dinkelacker?
Yes.
Okay.
That's Judge Patrick Dinkelacker. You can also call the prosecutor's office to demand the charge be dismissed as well. His name is Joe Dieters. His phone number is area code 513-946-3000.
One more time, 946?
513-946-3000.
Okay.
And then also, they may make a donation to the Tracy Hunter Legal Defense Fund. I don't touch the money. It's set up in a trust with the attorney, Jennifer Branch. Her address in Cincinnati is 441 Vine Street, V-I-N-E Street, Suite 3400. That's Suite 3400, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45202. But they can also go to the website, TracyHunterLegalDefenseFunds.com. You can read all about the case and also all of the things that I did. I changed laws in the state of Ohio through my court rulings as judge. In the first year I was on the bench, I ordered prosecutors to turn over critical evidence that they were withholding, had been withholding for years, forever, from the juveniles. I forced them to turn it over. They appealed the case, and eventually my case went to the Ohio Supreme Court. The Ohio Supreme Court ruled with me, or upheld my ruling, and my ruling became law in the state of Ohio, so that now all critical evidence, including police reports, must be turned over to the defense lawyers or to the children in their juvenile court cases. I also took the shackles off the children in Hamilton County because it looked like an episode of Roots. Every time the kids came into my courtroom, they had shackles on their legs, shackles on their belly, and shackles on their wrists. I ordered that the shackles be removed from the kids in 2013. I was criticized heavily. The sheriff, the court came against me. But in 2016, the Ohio Supreme Court followed suit, and now routine shackling of juveniles is banned across the state of Ohio.
Wow.
I also hired black people in key positions. No judge in Hamilton County had ever hired magistrates before. In my first 3 months on the bench, I hired multiple magistrates, and I also hired the first African-American director of psychology for the juvenile court here. I also discovered that the juvenile court in Hamilton County had been submitting false statistical data regarding cases to the Ohio Supreme Court, and I was required as a judge to sign off on those statistics every month. Well, when I realized that they were false and they were coming from the clerk's office, I refused to sign off, and it forced the Ohio Supreme Court to come into the Hamilton County Juvenile Court and to totally revamp the entire computer system of the Hamilton County Juvenile Court. So even though they came after me, they charged me with crimes after I was on the bench only 18 months. There must be something about that number. They charged me with crimes after a short period of time. They sued me over 30 times. I still changed laws in the state of Ohio that are going to impact positively kids for generations to come, because I went into the court to focus on rehabilitating the kids over incarcerating the kids. And I interrupted that school-to-prison pipeline, which was bringing millions and millions of dollars to the Hamilton County Juvenile Court. And again, that's why they ultimately came after me. Money, power. I interrupted the school-to-prison pipeline. I began to change things in Hamilton County, Ohio. And ultimately, that was my crime. It was going in rehabilitating children, making sure they were getting an education, applying the laws fairly to the children, and ultimately restoring Black families, mm-hmm. because I was also responsible for the adoption and foster care system.
Right.
And 80% of the families that were coming or that come through the juvenile court were African American, and our families were being destroyed. And so these are all of the things that I took on head on when I came into the court. I kept my promise to the people, and ultimately that's why they wanted me off the bench.
Let me ask you this, Judge. Who did they appoint to replace you since you have been off the bench now?
It was the mother-in-law of the prosecutor, Joe Dieters. Joe Dieters' mother-in-law. Joe Dieters is the prosecutor that brought the charges against me. He's a prosecutor that led the election fight against me. His mother-in-law was on the First District Court of Appeals, which is the appeals court right above me. So they brought her in to take over my cases, and she was both serving on the First District Court of Appeals as the presiding judge of the Court of Appeals and also handling the juvenile court cases, some of which had started many, many years prior when she was a juvenile court judge. Okay. So you see the nepotism here, the conflicts of interest, and I believe that they brought her in to kind of begin to maybe cover up some of the things that I had began to expose as a juvenile court judge, and how convenient appoint the prosecutor's mother-in-law as the visiting judge over my court.
Yeah, I'm assuming the prosecutor is white. Is he?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. So they do not have a Black judge in juvenile court any longer?
No. I was the first and the only one ever in the history of Hamilton County. They now have another Republican white judge sitting in my stead.
All right, when we come back, we're going straight to our phones and take your phone calls. 404-892-2703. Don't go into place. Incredible story, you know. But this could be any place in America, in these yet-to-be United States, as we call it. 404-892-2703. We'll be back. It's News to Talk 1380 WALK.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.